with me. All right. In a small rural community, about 2.5 hours west of this current location, and I go pointing, but I don't know my east from my west without looking at the sun, sits the remains of a Presbyterian church. The building is still present. It did not burn down. No natural disaster befell it. Today, though, as you and I sit out here in this picnic pavilion, their doors are closed. They're locked, awaiting the sale of the building, the manse, the pavilion, which looks very much like this, and the 2+ acreage that that church sits upon. No one worships in the church today. And it's been that way for a little while. Once a thriving anchor communal church in that small rural area, that Presbyterian church, it mirrors the fate of many other churches in our time. Decay, decline, apathy, blame, closure. But the story is so much more complex and fits into what David is talking about in the text today that you and I are thinking about from the psalm. Just 1 mile down a windy road, much like North Boundary as you're coming here, lived the past. For a tiny, closed, abandoned Presbyterian church, when it was once strong, when its pews were packed, when people were all over the place in that church, once divided, it split, taking 2/3 of the people away from the anchor church. They formed their own new church, their own new non-denominational church. The reason for the division was always a closely guarded secret, a story not told to guests and especially not to new ministers. Session records are quiet on the subject, but the new church that split off built itself literally in the shadows of the old church. And they lived for a season in a very unique relationship. From a common heritage, they came with no common future, they went. They shared, though, two things, these two churches, 1 mile apart, an anchor church and a split off church. Shared two things. First was the motto or slogan that was engraved on the cornerstones of both buildings. It was visible if you went, so I'm told. It read, "Committed to the truth of God's word." It's an interesting slogan or motto to adopt when their history says they can neither abide together with others in their community and they have no shared mission, meaning, or purpose. No unity. The second, and sadly, the other thing these two share is they are now both closed. The anchor communal church I talked about already, and its split off church. When I heard the story, I went online. Of course, everything is online, isn't it? And I went to Google Earth, and I knew where I was looking, and I zoomed, and I went, and I zoomed, and I went. You can't even find the split off church on a map anymore. Completely gone. One does not exist. The other says for sale by owner, essentially, in the front yard. Founded ostensibly on the same guiding principles of unity in God's word, God with them, with us, not being welcoming today. Today's reading from the Psalms is from David's hands. Like I said when we started, one of the shortest Psalms we have in the canon of Scripture, 3 verses long, only one has 2. We don't know exactly why David wrote these words. If you dig into it a little bit and look, there's many different possible times he could have written this. But his message is strong. When we live and we serve together, as we are doing here today in our outdoor worship service, the Lord bestows his blessings upon us and life forevermore. So if we believe the word of Scripture to be a true and accurate representation of God's revelation in our life, then the question comes to you to consider, why is the psalm needed? If it is good to be in unity, if God does bless us forevermore because we live in this way, as our two churches live in this way, why do we not read it more consistently? The NRSV translation takes this a step further by adding the word very to our translation. If my father was with us, he would be sitting over there rolling his eyes. Very. It's very good, it says. It is very pleasant, the NRSV says. And we can add very appropriate to live and work in our lives in this way. If very is the correct word to add that more extra intensity to this idea, then we must ask ourselves, why, if it is very good, and if it is very pleasant, do we not live that way? There are a lot of possible answers that we could debate amongst ourselves to try to figure this out and to narrow it down a little bit. The first one I want to offer you is that we do not live in this unified way consistently because of a lack of clarity. We feel the target is moving, so we do not attempt to live faithfully or consistently into who God is calling us to be and to become. Rather than try, we accept that we cannot because we're not fully clear about what is needed in the moment. This is the easiest of the excuses I can think of to adopt, and it's the one I think you are already beginning to ping in the back of your mind about our current situation, isn't it? During this time of COVID-19 and with social unrest in our culture and in our community, we want to understand it exactly what is happening so we can formulate the proper response as Christians and as the church. But that's an awfully hard thing to do in such a short amount of time. And so nothing gets done except sit in meetings or in Zoom meetings and bemoan and debate the fact that God calls us to more and to be more and to become more, but we just can't do that. This idea is also found in the first story that I shared of our two churches, our anchor church and our split church. The two churches were brothers and sisters literally in their community. They were related, yet they could not live in the unity the song called for. And the more they divided themselves and the more they tried to figure it out, the more it became an us and them. Although we were once always us, the issues were just lack of clarity. And they spiraled and they spiraled and they spiraled. If you want to see those issues at work with our current situation, the pandemic, go on social media. It will be clear quickly. It will be clear quickly. Besides a lack of clarity, which is obvious, we can also see that we don't necessarily live in this unified way because of a lack of grace. Because of a lack of grace. They go hand in hand with each other. Do we not find that this world of graceless mindsets are put forth regularly? Not in the church, of course, but all around us throughout our day. We have come to believe we must be in total lockstep, in total agreement. Otherwise, we cannot work together or we will not listen together. It is also the solution to the lack of clarity. Turn into cable news and you will see the real world application of a lack of grace at work. Either you support this party or that viewpoint or this leadership, or you are wrong. And as you know, people who would say, you're not just wrong, you are totally wrong. And notice how I said that, totally wrong. Didn't offer judgment about it, just what you see. Sadly, that idea filters its way into the life of the church as well. And when it does, a lot of bad things happen. A lot of what starts off in God's will and God's way and God's purpose and God's order becomes my will, my way, my purpose. And no grace is offered. No ministry is created or shared. No visions are massaged and worked and revisioned and discerned. There's no grace. Nothing happens. In the area where our two churches lived, when a Presbyterian church closes, the presbytery invites one of their senior pastors, someone who's been there a long time, to read on their own and summarize the life of the church's records. They get the session books, and this person reads them from the earliest memory that the church has till its very last moment, its last breath. It's done in a sort of a narrative fashion, as if this person is telling a story, you know, like a one-man play sort of situation. It's beautiful to listen to be honest. Decade after decade, the stories are shared that night of new building projects, of blessings, of mission work, a common vision, of a church living out faithfully who God calls them to be and become. And when they don't, they figure it out together. They figure it out together. They are ministry-centric. And it's good. You can hear the tone of those stories, though, at one point, taking on a bit of a different flavor. Instead of ministry opportunities shared, as this split has happened, they begin to start seeing each other adversarially. Why can't we? Why won't we? And they begin to get more frustrated. And clarity gets worse and worse. The tenor becomes serious. And it becomes harder for this individual to find God at work, as we would say, or grace being offered. People left the church. The records begin to reflect that. The role goes down. The records only begin to reflect that. No longer are ministry events celebrated and joys announced and exclamation points in the session books. Instead, grace disappears from the session records completely. God does not ask us to totally agree with one another. Instead, God seeks people who are willing to, in the midst of a lack of clarity, offer grace. I may not understand what you're saying, but I'll try. And together we'll get there, even though we both don't know what get there looks like in the moment. Live faithfully in the moment, God says. And don't let the lack of clarity stop you from offering the grace that is needed. God is not the private possession of one church or of one group or of one family or of one ministry. This idea is illustrated in Psalm 133 when we read about the dew of Mount Hermon. The water from Hermon that the psalm references filters its way from the very top of the mountain all the way down through the area. It feeds the Jordan River and by extension feeds all of the life of Israel. It's a shared thing. The gift of the mountain becomes a gift that sustains all. Lack of clarity, lack of grace can keep us from a blessing that is offered to all, God's very presence. But there is more to consider. The last answer I want to offer you on this beautiful morning together, as we think about how we can consistently live as the church in the unity this passage calls for, is the apathy one. I just don't have the time or the energy to engage in one more discussion that will unify me with you. We either have said it recently or someone said it to us. I just don't have the time. I have no clarity. I have no grace. I don't have the time for this. I'm too tired. I'm too worn out, too beaten down. I don't want to listen anymore. I can't listen anymore. This is where many people that you and I know live today. This is where the leadership and the ministry of that church I talked about dwelled in their final days. And if we're not careful, it's where we can dwell as the body of Christ. For if we begin to think and live in this manner, if we stop seeking clarity, offering grace, and confessing that we just don't have the time to do any of it, then we become isolated. We disconnect from the body of Christ. We stand alone on the truth that we alone have constructed, that is our truth and our way. And those are dangerous statements, every single one of them, that God calls us to think about and respond to in our own way. It is indeed very good and very pleasant to sit in a pavilion like this, isn't it? We've sat in it together since I've been here with you on really hot days. We've sat in chilly days where you've needed a coat. We've walked in the grass together. And today we have a beautiful breeze. It is indeed very good and very pleasant to worship God in person and in unity and virtually as the church is together. I wonder, though, as we come to the end of this time and as we continue to worship and in a little while break bread together, I wonder if there are places in your day where you would not agree about the goodness and the pleasantness of life. Can you locate them? Because if you can, and if you know people who do or will, then you have the opportunity from God to be an agent of God, of healing, of the divisions and the pains that this world causes. They take an anchor church, split it apart, and close them both. Let us pray together. Loving God, we are thankful to be your people today. We are thankful to gather ourselves in this space, in this pavilion, as two churches being one in the body of Christ, celebrating that in the midst of a time of pandemic, we are together, and it is very good and very pleasant to be here. As we continue to worship you today, Lord God, as we break bread in a little while, we ask you to help us be those agents that end clarity issues, that offer grace to others, that help those who say, I just don't have the time for this, to find and make the time for you. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. As we continue to worship God together, in your packet that you have, you will find hymn number 491, Stand Up and Bless the Lord. Will you stand as you are able so we can worship? God is indeed with us as we are out in the park today. And I think I've said it like 10 times, but I'll make it number 11 just because you got to repeat it, right? It is a beautiful day to be together as the body of Christ. Even in the midst of social distancing, we have plenty of space. Before we share joys and concerns, we are curious. Where have you seen God at work? Amy.
And then she would come home and tell us it's hilarious, but when she laughed and laughed, it was just good to hear her getting back to normal with life.
Thank you for sharing the story with us, Amy, of Susie getting back to normal life. We're glad your knee is feeling better, and we're glad to see you back at band camp. Bert, where have you seen God at work, my friend?
I look around at these trees. There's white oak, there's red oak, there's hickory, there's maples. Every one of them has its own characteristic and strength and what it needs from the ground to thrive. But they exist together.
Sure.
I don't know the complete definition of grace.
Okay.
Is it cookie cutter or is it different for everyone? All the churches, all the denominations are based.
Sure.
On some type of variation of grace.
Yep. Yes. You knew I was going to do that, I'm sure. It depends on the person, my friend, the definition of grace. I heard someone say once, it's God's unmerited favor. And if that is a true definition, then that's a pretty broad definition. And it lets you have space to create a definition that works for you, respecting my definition and Nina's and Greg's and everybody else's. So not to pass the buck, but I'm passing the buck. Nancy.
I saw God at work with Gary Taylor's
Yes.
He had unwavering faith. Video of his pictures with different hymns. I saw God at work and remembering Gary Taylor.
Absolutely. And we will be continuing to keep Gene and Karina and their families in our prayers as they go through that time of grief together. Much like grace, it's not linear. It takes time when we do this, when we go through grief, as when we go through grace, I think, to some degree, Bert. Thank you for sharing the stories with us. Steve, where have you seen God at work, my friend?
I saw God at work this week. And for the benefit of those that don't know, I take phone calls in an inbound call center for an insurance company. And, of course, we're not in our center right now. We're all working from home.
Sure.
I can't remember how many call centers, at least six, maybe eight across the country. So I had a call from a doctor's office, and this representative called in to get an update on an appeal that they had filed on behalf of one of the insured for a procedure. And I was pleased to see that the initial denial of that service had been overturned and approved. And this representative was clearly pleased on a personal level. It wasn't just clinical and professional. So as soon as I finished with her and my phone rang again, it was an insured calling to ask about the status on an appeal. And when I put the information in, I was like, this name sounds really familiar.
Sure.
It was literally the person whom I had just taken the call about.
Oh, okay.
And the odds of that happening on back-to-back phone calls when you're one of multiple call centers are just incredible.
Yeah.
And she was so pleased to hear that it had been approved. And while we were wrapping up, I could hear her other phone ring. And I said to her, I'll bet that's some such and such from the doctor's office. And sure enough, it was.
Mm.
So that the only way I can attribute that is God at work.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing the story with us. Where have you seen God at work? I thank you for sharing these stories with us today. As we come to the time of prayer and joys and concerns, as I have said, we will keep the Taylor family in our prayers this morning. Do you have joys and concerns that you would like to share together today?
I am, but you know.
Frank.
Concern for Tiffany's cousin, Christine, who was diagnosed with COVID last week, and she's having difficulty breathing or even having any energy. And her husband has it too, but he seems to be in mild case. They do have a 9-year-old son. We haven't seen him at all.
Well, we will keep Christine and her husband in our prayers, as she has been diagnosed with COVID, and he seems to have a lighter version of it, a more minor, and their 9-year-old child, as that family has a difficult time ahead of them sort of working through this. We will pray for them. Are there other joys and concerns? Jennifer. Oh, yeah.
And we have a good relationship with the woman at the place that we got our pool. She's walked us through every step of it. She knows us whenever we come in, you know. She says, Derek, I know you're a pastor. Is it okay if I give you this flyer? She says, my dad's dying, and he needs a kidney. And she knows us so well. She knew that was a good place. And God put Derek there that day just so that he could take the flyer home. I don't remember what his name is.
Tom. His name is Tom. Yeah, we will keep Tom in our prayers. The poster will be up at the church this week. I would not have said that God was at work when I broke that priest that I needed for the pool and had to scurry down there. But John Mark made dinner, so hey, there's God at work for you too. He was a good cook. Don't let anybody fool you. And it was indeed. I was able to spend time talking with Katie, and so we will pray for Tom. Her mother is also quite sick and terminal as well, with a different issue. So please keep that family in your prayers. Bert.
Prayer for my concerns. Our leadership in this country
We will pray for our leadership, certainly. Greg.
Just several from Crestview. We have a woman who's going through cancer treatment. She just got back out of the hospital and faces more treatment. Her name is Kathy Pritz-Kidd, and she lives in Evans City. We have two families that this summer have lost loved ones, a 28-year-old woman and a 34-year-old woman. And both the Lolo family, the Schofield and Raider families, continue to be in our prayers. It was a tragic accident for one, and the other one was just a real sad situation. So we hold those two families up in our prayers.
We will keep them in our prayers as they go through the time of grief. And for Kathy going through cancer treatments, we will keep them in our prayers. Sue.
Our grandchildren who are in the state of Indiana started school in person Wednesday. It's going to be 5 days a week. I hope we can continue because they're starting to feel there's some imbalance. The other ones are only going to be 1 day a week in North Carolina.
We will keep your grandchildren in our prayers as they start school. It is a scary time for sure to see kind of how this works, yeah. Are there others? Julie.
So I actually have two.
Sure.
First, I don't remember if I told you about my sister Pam in Florida, but she was in the hospital and had a perforated ulcer that was repaired surgically. She went home, she was getting worse, so she's now back in the hospital. They're doing all kinds of tests, they don't know exactly what's wrong, but
we will keep Pam in our prayers first off.
And the second one is for our friends at our church back in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Bob Shepherd, his wife Ruth, passed away suddenly this week. And she was just such a vital part of the church. She ran the prayer chain and the card ministries. And she had been on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Almost right up until the minute she died, she had a massive heart attack and passed away. So keep Bob Shepherd and their family.
We will keep Bob Shepherd and family in our prayers as they grieve Ruth's loss, his wife. Are there others today? Then let us be the church. Loving God, we thank you that we are together today, worshiping you in unity and spirit and in truth, being thankful, knowing you are at work. And because we know you are at work, we are bringing you our needs, our joys, our concerns, because we trust you, gracious and all-powerful God, to be at work there. Not because we say so, but because it is your will. We pray for healing in these lives, restoration in these lives, comfort and care in these lives, discernment as it is needed. We think of the Taylor family today, Lord. We are glad that Jean and Karina and family are aware of your presence. They are leaning upon you. Now help them continually as they grieve. Today, tomorrow, the next day, to sense you at work, to feel you there, and to lean upon you. Be with the friends and family of Gary today. We pray for Christine and her husband, who have both COVID in different degrees. We pray for healing for them. They've got a difficult path ahead, we know, as they fight this virus. We pray for their 9-year-old son at home, that he would remain healthy, and that he would be the hands and feet of Christ, loving and caring for his parents, even at 9 years old. As Jennifer reminds us, we pray for Tom, who needs a kidney. And we pray that that would materialize for him, that those prayers would be answered for Tom today. We pray for the leadership of our country. We may be uncertain with clarity as to what's going on. We may not feel we have the time to listen, but we offer grace there, and Lord, we trust you to have your way in our country as our election gets closer, Lord. We pray for Kathy dealing with cancer treatments that we heard about from Crestview. We pray those treatments would be effective and successful in her life, that her health would return quickly. For the Raider and Schoffel families who are both going through their own times of grief, shepherd them through that, Lord. Remind them of your presence. Give them the strength and encouragement they need. We pray for Sue's grandchildren in Indiana and New York, or in North Carolina, as the New York grand, or the Indiana grandchildren begin school. And we pray that as they begin school in a full-time setting, that they would stay healthy. And that as transitions happen, that you would watch over them and give them good health in this time. We pray for Pam, who has gone through surgery for an ulcer and is now back in the hospital, seeming to get worse. We pray for healing for her, for wisdom for those caring for her today. And finally, Lord, we lift up the Shepherd family to you as Bob grieves the loss and goes through the time of pain, losing his wife, an anchor in their church and in their family. For all of these, Lord, we commit them to you. We trust you to be at work in their lives. We give them over to you, knowing that you are present in ways we do not understand, praying in ways we do not always understand. And so, Lord, as we continue to worship you today, as we prepare to break bread in fellowship, be with us and hear us together as in one voice we offer you the first prayer, which you've taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.